Hello, and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney. Before this week's episode, a few friendly reminders. New episodes drop every Thursday afternoon.
Opinions and views expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the Arts Asylum, Mutual Musicians Foundation, or KOJH 104.7.
If you have any questions, concerns, or suggestions, please contact us via email at couchchats@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at couchchats. And don't forget, that's couch with a K. Please also remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Bye.
Hello, and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have our really good friend, Cass Lyons. Welcome to the show, Cass.
Hello, thank you.
Or Cassandra, I guess, is your full legal Christian name.
Do people do that?
No. Okay. It's definitely Cass.
Is your Instagram handle Cassandra, though?
No, it's Cass.
Okay.
Cassandra's usually only brought up if I'm, like, in trouble.
Ah. Now we know what to use against
There are levels to it, too. Cassandra Lyons. You throw the Gwyn in there, I really know I'm in deep shit.
Okay, like, all right.
Is your middle name Gwyn or Gwendolyn?
Gwyn.
Great.
Yeah. All right.
See, I pretty much have no idea what your name is.
Yeah.
So, welcome to the show.
Because I go by different ones.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So I always sort of like to start off the podcast by saying, who are you and how did you get to the couch today?
Oh my goodness.
This is sort of your monologue section.
Not a small question. Who are you?
No, yeah. Right.
Who are you?
Yeah. So, I am an immersive design artist, which is always a really interesting way to announce yourself when you haven't done immersive design in about 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How did I get here?
I'm trying to think.
So, about 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I was a senior mm-hmm. with the Art Institute, doing what was supposed to be a senior thesis film,
mm-hmm.
and I needed a place to build all of my pieces for that.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know it was not going to be a film in the end. It was going to be something really weird
mm-hmm.
and much different, but that is what happens when your lead actor drops out 6 weeks before the show,
yes.
and the night before your biggest scene is shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I
remember that.
Yeah.
I do too.
From sort of my perspective, and like Courtney, feel free to jump in. Yeah, so Cass was here and she sort of rented the, what we call the NCF, the New Century Follies, sort of space on
yes.
the other side of the Arts Asylum. If you've ever been here, it's this long room that sort of is above the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And Cass came to us, you know, and was like, hey, I just need to build these props and sort of this wagon, but no big deal, I need to do that. And then about, I believe, 2 weeks before maybe this was due, mm-hmm. you came downstairs to us and said, so, mm-hmm. I now have to turn this movie into an interactive experience.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, well, like what? And you said, well, I'm going to fill the entire theater with straw and hay.
Uh-huh.
Is that okay? Yeah. Go ahead.
Fully expected you guys to say no that day. I went in fully expecting me, and like, there's no way they're going to let me fill a whole theater with straw. There's no way.
And then we did.
It's still one of the coolest things that has ever happened in that theater.
I tell the story from the perspective of showing that that is sometimes what an artist has to do. I use you as a total, like, inspirational tool, and that's just something that I'm glad I'm sort of putting down on tape, you know, on this thing, on this
everyone
recording, is that whenever people, you know, have been like, oh, I thought Cass was already there, why are you so excited to have her back? And I was like, well, because she changed the landscape of what I thought that room could do that night. You know, we had a movie screen down, you showed the first, like, 4 minutes, I think,
We did the whole thing backwards. You mm-hmm. entered through the backstage door,
mm-hmm.
you watched the first 4 minutes of what was shot
mm-hmm.
for that film. And then you walked down through the set, and each
into
circus
film, right?
was, yeah, yes. it was interactive.
And I went through, I think, the room 3 times with 3 different
it was so
groups
cool.
because
That's
I want, and watching how it changed every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember I had my husband and my group of friends that were here, and I was like, why aren't we extending this through tomorrow?
Right.
Like,
because that was the week that we had like 900 things.
The
too.
Next morning was AIDS Walk, and we had a tap workshop
right,
in
that,
the
yeah,
theater.
And it was,
I remember that, because
mm-hmm.
we were there until about 4 o'clock in the morning cleaning all the straw.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was the coolest. Anyway, there's those photos that show up from that, sometimes I just
God,
don't even recognize
so
the...
the room. That is something that we are going to start implementing once we hit our 1 year. So you're like right on the cusp, but maybe I'll start it with you. A year ago, we actually announced that we were going to do this show.
It's true.
Here we go
today.
So,
the show?
Yeah, the podcast show. So you're kind of like the 1 year.
The anniversary for Wonder is in 2 weeks.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's on the 24th. It's 4 years ago on the 24th.
With AIDS one. But I'm going to start like asking like a while referencing something on the show, i.e. this thing, I want to then put up on our Instagram a photo of maybe something that we talked about on the show. So maybe I'll start that with you this week and I'll put up a picture of that experience. I know you're someone who I've always wanted to sort of like talk to socially. So you may be nervous, but I'm a little Twitter kidding right now. It's kind of fun.
Did the glitch that happened with that film, did you consider yourself an immersive artist before that?
No. So I actually wouldn't know the term immersive design for like months after that.
Uh-huh.
So halfway through my junior year, I realized that I really hate making films.
Okay, fair.
As a film student.
Sure.
But I was so far in the program, I'm like, I'm not switching majors. I have three semesters left.
Right.
I'm not staying here
Let's
any longer than I need to.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'd already decided I want to set heavy film because I love doing the sets. I love doing costumes. Mm-hmm. And I'd already wanted to kind of do an installation aspect that night, but I didn't know what it was. Lo and behold, it ended up being that.
Mm-hmm.
The night before our biggest shoot, when I got that call that my actor was in California and he wasn't coming back,
right?
That night was a whirlwind. I remember it was probably about 3 o'clock in the morning. I was surrounded by really close people who'd worked on the crew with me, and I was like, "Fuck it, we'll just do the whole thing live." And mm-hmm. everybody was like, "It's time to go to bed. Like, we're not doing that.
Right.
Go to bed." Mm-hmm.
It was perfect timing because you had like a train whistle, and then like the lights came up in a room, and it was a fucking horrible.
The transition on that was fantastic.
It was so strong.
I woke up the next morning at 8, and I started being like, if we did it live, what would it look like? And those next 6 weeks were a total blur.
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of those 6 weeks. I don't remember the night of the show.
Okay.
I have really small glimpses from the night of the show. People, like, tell me stories, and I'm like, that's really cool. I don't remember that. If I look at pictures from that night, mm-hmm. I am like, I've never looked more like a zombie. And I'm also only half dressed.
Right?
Yeah.
So
but
like,
that's where we also met our now office assistant, Matthew Cole.
Yes,
you
did.
I had zero recollection of that. Like, I knew Matthew for probably 9 months, and then
he had the safari hat.
He did.
On.
He played the safari with the two rhino head people. Yes, he did.
Not remember. Like, because that whole week was kind of a blur because we did that week. Your thing was on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We had a hair show in the building that week. We had a album release party in the building that week. We had a tap workshop, and we had something else.
Well, we had AIDS Walk.
And so by the time I got to your thing, I was like, this is so awesome. Look at how different it was from last night's thing. But I hadn't slept. And so just zero recollection that Matthew was there. Like when he was like, yeah, I was in that. I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
But it was amazing.
That's how Matt and I reconnected. We went to high school together.
Mm-hmm.
Both live in this city, but didn't really see each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually in those 6 weeks that was a total blur that I'm like, can you please come be in this weird show? The whole thing was put together with like duct tape and hairpins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we ever had an official rehearsal.
Sure.
Like some of those people, like I know specifically the last tent, which had the bearded lady
mm-hmm,
in it.
Mm-hmm.
That was supposed to be an entirely different storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys dropped out the Wednesday before. So like two mm-hmm. nights before
uh-huh.
the show.
But that's the thing I love about quote unquote live theater.
Yes.
Is you were like, well, people are coming and I'm going to have a grade on Friday night. So we have to put on a fucking show.
I called my older brother and I was like, could you maybe drive to Kansas City and
mm-hmm.
come be a bearded
that.
Lady?
Yes.
I'd given him no direction. Like I gave him like very little direction, which he completely ignored. One of my small glimpses from that night is I remember hearing all the way on the other side him yelling at people, and I was like, what is going on over there? And it ended up being like one of the best tents of the entire.
Yeah.
We sewed his costume the night before. I sat him in a room with the clowns and I was like, can you please dress him in drag? I need to go take care of this thing, but could you please like put makeup on him?
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could figure out a way to do that again.
Do Wonder again?
Yeah.
I think about it. I have written down on my list, if I ever did a circus again. Mm-hmm. And, like, so it'd be, like, Wonder 2.0.
Yeah.
Totally different storyline, but it's, like, if I ever did a circus again, this is what I would do. And mm-hmm. I have a ton of ideas.
I wish I could figure out, you know, if any of the 5s and 10s are out there part of, like, the Renaissance Festival. I would love to, like, do something with you, like, out there somehow by having, like, a big screen and then using some of their...
Did you know you can rent that place?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You can...
I've never been to the Renaissance Fair. So we should do that.
That's what we're going
to
do.
I've lived here enough to where now it's embarrassing that I haven't been to it. A little bit.
But then we could use, like, their world for some...
Yeah.
Something. Anyway, you are definitely on my mind to create with, and I think have been for, let's call that 6 years now.
Let's do it.
So, you moved away. After you left us?
I did. Yeah. Well, I stayed in Kansas City, but I left here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I graduated, obviously, after my thesis, mm-hmm. and was in a point where I was like, oh, cool, now I have to, like, make money doing art? Mm-hmm. They didn't teach us how to do that.
Did you work with, like, escape rooms for a little while?
Yeah, yeah. That was my first thing. I jumped in. I was super lucky. I, like, fell into that position. Mm-hmm. Which was the perfect commercial outlet for what I was wanting to
Absolutely.
Do. What I just... like discovered like yeah. the night of wonder was the night that I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. I'm mm-hmm. supposed to make weird places for people to go into. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that ended up being the best like commercial outlet. I started designing and building escape rooms with them for about 2 years, and that would have been May of 2015. Mm-hmm. So it's like right when it was starting, mm-hmm. and escape rooms were still cool.
Mm-hmm. I still think they're cool
as well. It's just
undefeated, they're kind of a trend.
Sure, yeah, they are a trend, but I hope that it's a trend that sticks. There are some trends that I am kind of obsessed with them.
There are still some really great ones in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to lose. Now the point is I need to go into an escape room and not break out.
We've hold records at a couple places.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so we, like, our little tiny team is undefeated.
All right.
In other states.
And we've gone to, like, we've gone to St. Louis, somewhere else. Where else did we do one?
I swore we did one somewhere else.
Did we do one in Chicago?
I thought we did.
Did you do the escape game? I think they're called the escape game in Chicago. My older brother and I do escape rooms together.
Lied? We've uh-huh. never done it in a different state. We've only done it in Missouri. I may have just lied.
You may have. And here on, we're recording.
What are you thinking? You guys should go to Chicago and you should do the escape game. They're amazing.
Okay.
Some of their design stuff is incredible. Mm-hmm. My older brother and I do them together, but we can't really do them here together.
Because you know too many.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we travel to do mm-hmm. them. My little brother's not allowed to come with us. Mm-hmm. And if he does, we like put him in a corner and tell him he's not allowed to touch anything.
Oh, fair.
We learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
But, he and I went to Chicago 2 years ago, I think, to see a concert and mm-hmm. then specifically to do escape rooms. And we did 3 escape rooms.
Nice.
Back to back.
It's cool.
Do you always break out?
Not always. That one, I have broken out of all of their rooms.
Uh-huh.
And I loved that night. Very, like,
a powerful
yeah. moment for me, because mm-hmm. they gave me this t-shirt and they were like, we haven't actually released these to the public yet, but you've beaten all of our games, so we want you to have it. It's got a little lock on it, and I uh-huh. love it. Mm-hmm. And I like to wave it in my brother's face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We've exchanged a few people sometimes, but the core base is there.
Well, the four is like...
The people you go with is important.
It's super important.
Matt, Courtney, and Alex broke out of the Da Vinci room at Union Station.
Oh my goodness.
But we broke out of it, like, in no time.
Right, I
we
felt
broke
a little
out of that
like...
one, too. And it drove me nuts because the music does not match the time period. And my team was like, you need to let that go.
I'm not saying we're not brilliant, Courtney. But there was one of them where we were like, we did it on it. Almost accident.
Yeah.
Like, we were like, boop, 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 click, open, hey.
Right.
Cool.
Here we are. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was fun. And then when we walked out, the people were seriously like, I mean, what's your name? Like, no one's going to beat that. Like, we watched you guys get to that point, and then whenever you walked
it's
right
because
past it,
we were able to, like, separate. Because Alex and I are both very useful in an escape room, but we do not do the same things. You want me to, like, figure out something mathematically? Mm-hmm. Fuck right off.
Yeah, no.
I have no idea how that's going to go down. I'm going to leave that to you.
But I can color match.
But I can color match, like, nobody's business or, like, other random weird puzzles. And so it was like, we went with our husbands, but you and I were one team and they were another team.
Yes.
And
that
we were able to, like,
break up.
Then we were able to, like, break up and accomplish more than one task at a time. The one in St. Louis was terrible. I hated that word.
Well, the TV was starting to talk to us. That was part of it. So if you weren't listening enough,
then you missed.
Then the fuzz on the television maybe gave you the answer at one point, but you didn't know.
Well, and right, and then like they were all about
the story.
The stuff. Yeah. Like, and because I get that, like, you have to make it look...
goose eggs or whatever, the red herrings. Yeah, yes. They had a lot of them that had.
But this just meant nothing.
Yeah.
That I was just like, I get that you have to make this look like a lived-in room, but you can't put just a load of crap in there that means nothing, because then you're just wasting your time doing that.
Or looking for one word in a book or something, but they had 40 books. Right. And then, found the one word, and it literally didn't matter. It was just so you, like, were more connected with the story or something. Right. It was like, rosebud. And you're like, yeah, it's the sled.
And they're like, we started leaking in the smell of roses, and you didn't tell, but there's no reason. It was stupid. And then it ended up that, the thing that we still got out... But the thing that, like, held us up is that we were from Kansas City, and you had to do a phone number, but it needed the area code, and it was St. Louis area code. And
I would not know that.
I'm like, it didn't occur. And Alex is from St. Louis, and he still was like, but the guy, like, came over and did the, like, thing. He was like, think about where you're located, and then we got it. But I was like, that's stupid. You should have it be a completely random set of numbers that can't be attached to where you are. Anyhow.
When did you get out of the game? Like, the building game?
2 years ago. So I spent 2 years with them. Mm-hmm. And then I started to notice that while they were fulfilling my, like, I'm making money off of this and building these things, they didn't really fulfill the narratives. They're very normal, which is makes sense. Mm-hmm. My work isn't really normal. It's been described as otherworldly or whimsical or creepy. And so that was kind of lacking. But I was also... not working on any of my own stuff, because I'd get home every day and be creatively drained.
Sure.
So, parted ways with them, took a year off for, like, the first time probably since middle school. I say I took a year off. I started a business with my mom.
What's that business?
Lions and Linen. It is her passion project of handmade aprons and kitchen linen. The joke is, the second I walked out of the escape room, my mom called and was like, hey, now you can do that project you've been putting off for like 4 years. You have time.
You're like, you're right, mom.
I'm like, I know you have time to do this. So we did that. I started writing my own immersive design stuff again, which then made me realize that I'm going to need money more than the no-nonsense like front desk job that I'd gotten for my year off. So I... started working with Aubrey Vineyards, a local vineyard and winery, doing their photography and their social media, which was perfect because I could support myself, I could pay rent, I could eat sometimes, but I wasn't creatively drained, so I could go home and start working on things. And then the next phase of that was, I'm going to need a studio space so I can build these really weird things. So I called, I did not call, I don't like talking on the phone, I emailed the best studio people in Kansas City.
Oh yeah? Who are they?
Oh, who are they? And I moved back.
She's like, they didn't pick up, so then I called you up.
And I moved back into the arts asylum. What did we just say? January 30th.
Yes.
January 30th, yeah. Yes. So, I think the Fives and Tens previously sort of knew that we have been, like, transient office people, essentially, since September of last year, where we decided to start our renovation of our first floor. But to do that, we had to clear out of the office, what was the office prior. So we moved up to where Cass is now residing. So that was kind of a fun game, I will say, of telling everyone, well, listen, we have someone moving into this room in 30 days.
Let's go.
Get some paint on the damn walls downstairs, people.
You know, it just occurred to me right this moment. This is a very random kind of tangent side note. Did we have on Chi and then Seth and then Cass? Have we had the all of the residents of that apartment on in a row?
Oh, that'd be funny.
That is possible. That's is that weird? Real?
I think so.
325 manifested itself.
It's true. That's, I'm sorry. I did not
mean that's cool.
But like, that's interesting. Like, all in a row. They've all been on the podcast.
Like the two people who lived there before me.
Everyone who was in sequential order.
In sequential order. Yeah.
Funny. Huh. What is the universe telling us?
I don't know.
That we need to throw a party. I'm going to look up our past photos and
a haunting of 325 is upon us.
That is interesting. So you have been at the asylum now for a little over 2 months.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What, from your perspective, it's something that I like to ask people, what did it feel like coming back? Mm. Like, after you sort of came, gone, and you were literally, like, as we said earlier, straw in the theater. Mm-hmm. Well, now you couldn't do that because there's a renovated theater.
Yes, there's a real theater.
There's a theater in there. And so, like, what did that feel like for you, knowing that you sort of had a home here before, and then to choose to reside here and sort of come back?
What's funny is coming back in here, it felt very familiar because this is going to be a weird comment. Things smell exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Which is an odd comment, but I just remember walking in to view the space and being like, this is home. This is, like, it smells exactly the same. This is home. When you guys were doing the renovation of the lobby and everybody kept asking me, they were like, oh, like, how different is it compared to where you were 4 years ago? I was like, okay, well, 4 years ago, I was in a tower.
Right.
Literally away from everybody else.
Never came to the lobby.
I was like, so if you ask me what that staircase looks like and that creepy door on the end looks like, I can tell you that.
It's all the same.
Yes. So sometimes I feel like I'm almost experiencing it for the first time because I was never in the lobby. I was never on this side of the building.
Right.
I have people who've been here for years and they're like, wait, you were here 4 years ago? Like, I never saw you. And I was like, I know. I was, like, locked in a tower.
It's true.
And you were one of the proving points, though, of the fact that that side of the world needed to not exist.
Because
it's completely isolational, and I would not know how to do a theater show with you existing over there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of them in your room and you in their room kind of world. Yeah. Because we have so many great artists who are in the building now, but there's so many of them, like, who were obviously here before the renovations that took place. So a lot of times it is difficult to get an honest opinion of what it feels like to walk in here.
And it'd be totally different.
Yeah,
yes.
And totally different. Like, there's not walls in that lobby anymore, but you didn't really use the building proper.
I was never in there.
Well, because even when we did your event, you didn't use the lobby. Was where you left from because you came in. The entrance
through
was
the
backstage
door. Yeah. Correct. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when you go out into the world and tell people that you reside here, what do you say?
I tell people that I live in an arts building that is an old church turned into this, and usually that's enough for people to be like, "Oh, okay, you do you,
you little cute
artist, you do you." That's usually enough for people to be like, "Okay."
You also have a wonderful dog who is part of the Arts Asylum family, who we love.
Very much is, yep, Loomis. Mm-hmm. I think more people in this building know Loomis than they know me.
Probably.
What is it? Grand Hotel is at Hoosiering.
That's
correct. Right now, I took him through the lobby last night so we could go on our walk, and they were like, oh, that's who's making this beautiful noise. I'm just like, no.
Yeah. The howler. We don't have the ghost. We have Loomis.
We have
Loomis.
That's
true. I wonder if he's keeping the ghost at bay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or maybe he's trying to tell us something.
Sure.
We should be listening.
Yeah.
The story definitely got around about our first morning here when he let himself out into the building. That has made its way around quicker than news of me moving in.
Sure.
So, like, when I meet new people, they're like, you're the dog who knows how to use doorknobs. I'm like,
but the thing that I've enjoyed, I mean, not that I don't think animals can coexist, but also sort of that next layer down in the arts asylum is that at some given points, people have brought their animals here, and there's like 6 to 8 dogs or cats just
hanging out,
chilling
in
the building with no problems.
No problems.
I've not heard a problem, and so mark my words, probably something will happen today. But there hasn't ever been an accident in the lobby. We haven't had to deal with anything, so I just kind of, it's cool to know that the arts sound can also exist for furry friends too. And I love puppy dogs. Yesterday I went on a walk with my husband, and all I wanted was this little Shih Tzu to run across this field and come and love me. And then it started running at me, and I was just like, this is the best day ever. And then it just sniffed me and then ran back.
Yeah.
I was like, see you later, puppy dog.
Walking, that there was a field.
Liberty Memorial.
Okay, all right. That's fair.
We walk the Berkeley Riverfront Trail every day, and there are lots of dogs down there.
I feel as though I would like, I think we talked about this once, that I would like to just go down to the bar K and hang out with other people's dogs.
You can. Humans can get in for free.
Oh my goodness.
It's $10 a dog or humans can get in for free. So you could totally just
go. Well, we could go have a lunch there sometime, Courtney. I'm sure we could see Loomis.
We can take Loom if you guys, because I have friends that are like, can we take your dog because I want to go, but I feel uncomfortable going without a dog. I'm like, yeah, sure.
You sort of talked about that, though, that you're kind of an overly protective dog.
I am very overly protective. I feel like I need to keep my eyes on him. So Barkay is almost more exhausting for me than it is for him. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I don't trust their attendants at all. I'm overly protective. Mm-hmm. And so I like follow him around
like, sometimes my dog gets into mischief. Like I need to make sure.
He's an instigator. Yeah. He likes to start shit and then leave like he wasn't a part of it.
I could just see that. The dog face just walking around. Wasn't me.
I wasn't there. That's 100% him.
Okay.
So what's your next like creative project that we might be able to experience with you?
Oh, so for immersive design... Actually, when you asked me if I would do this, and my first words were, what would I even talk about?
We've been here for 30 minutes.
And we haven't even gotten into the questions part yet.
What's funny is that made me think a lot about how right now I have such a dichotomy in my brain between like my immersive design work, which I've maybe not created in 2 years, but it doesn't mean I'm not still doing work. I just mm-hmm. don't think of the photography work as my work. I think of it as like my way to be able to buy bread.
Sure.
Sometimes.
And sometimes you photograph mm-hmm. bread.
Sometimes I do photograph bread. I was photographing bread Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So immersive design side of things, I'm right now working on what I'm calling vignette shows.
Okay.
So smaller than Wonder. Because when I left the escape room, I wrote an amazing show that I am so excited to build one day.
Mm-hmm.
But it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe 3 times the size of Wonder.
Cool.
It has to do with, I think the unofficial slogan is, your childhood nightmare is all grown up. So there's that, but that's a massive show and a very big endeavor to not only like raise money for, but then also build after jumping back.
We should probably talk about this off air.
We totally could talk about this.
Because Courtney and I have some stories that we would like to have told and represented as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, I know what you're talking about. We should totally talk about that off air.
All right, we're going to have a second
conversation.
Stay tuned,
guys.
So I started working on what I'm calling vignette shows.
Mm-hmm.
The goal I set for myself right now is to have 6 months to a year's worth of content written, blueprinted out, like designed on paper before I start building anything. But the rough idea right now is that it would be a bi-monthly series. So a new show every other month
mm-hmm.
with 1 month in between to tear down, rebuild, and like rehearse new pieces.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're much smaller. It's been really difficult for me to keep them small. I'm finding that's my biggest issue. I'll be working on it.
But you're a good dreamer,
it.
Though.
Yeah. But then I'm like, this is getting real big.
It's a $50,000 show.
Yeah,
like, one night.
How can we make this into, like, 2 shows?
Yeah.
So, there's kind of a weird place right now where it's like, where do you stop? Mm-hmm. Like, what is too much interaction? What's too much storyline? Like, what is the measurement of what these, like, little vignette mm-hmm. shows look like? I currently have 5 of them. That are in various stages.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal essentially was 6.
Yeah.
Before I start doing like anything. So mm-hmm. getting real close.
How can people kind of follow or keep up to date about what you're doing?
Oh, that would mean I'd be posting on my website, which I'm not. Which would be. But I do have a website, castlions.com.
Cool.
Lions
and that's
with
Lions
y.
with a Y.
Lions with a Y. That's always the fun part you gotta add in there.
Yeah. I'm Corey with a K.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I had somebody the other day, I was like, it's Lions with a Y, and somebody legitimately was like, where does the Y go?
You're like, in the beginning.
Just, you figured that.
The
out.
Y is silent.
The Y is silent.
Spelled Y-O-I-N-S.
Yes. The Y is on the end.
Yeah. Right. The English dictionary.
There is the website. Usually if I am posting stuff like that as I'm working on a show, I'll mm-hmm. post it on my Instagram. As I mentioned before, my Instagram right now is mostly my dog,
mm-hmm.
which is just...
Who cares?
He's very cute.
Yeah.
Just still
well, I mean,
follow.
I, you know, part of it is just, like, the branding of you, you know? Even if it is just photographs of your dog.
Don't parenthood.
Then that's you, though. And then as, you know, we sort of follow your journey, sometimes we'll probably get to know you better through those Instagrams. Yeah. You know, that's kind of the purpose of what this show, how this show started, is that we wanted to have people on that we didn't, that are in our sort of circle all the time, that, and sometimes we know everything about, but John Q. Public doesn't know anything about. Mm-hmm. And that you were kind of one of those in-between worlds for me, where you've been in my circle, but I...
But we haven't ever really like just sat down and had a chat.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So that sort of takes us into the questions.
Now we're going to know all the crazy things.
Yeah. So what is your definition of real magic?
You know what? Anything that transports you out of the place that you're in. So any like song that you're hearing, maybe on the radio, or like a passage of literature, or if you're experiencing art, or you like hear a sound outside, or like a smell that like triggers memories. So, like anything that transports you from your like mundane everyday moment that you're in somewhere else is like the closest thing to magic.
Well, what magic have you experienced today?
Today, actually, this was really silly. I posted it on my Instagram. It was listening to Ella Fitzgerald's That's My Desire and seeing my curtains come in and out.
Cool.
Which is a weird thing to describe verbally, but visually definitely triggers things for me.
I did. Yes. I love that.
All right. You are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Like invent a new?
You don't have to invent a new color. I know. I have to like figure out how to word that for artists.
But does everybody
like,
else
I have to create a new color? And I'm like, no, it's going to be a shade,
no,
whatever.
Right.
Describe the shade of color you are.
I would be a cosmic swirl of black, purple, and blue with little gold flakes.
That's fantastic.
Because those are the colors I'm being drawn to right now for some reason.
All right. I like that.
Things that I'm working on.
Like a galaxy crayon.
Yes. I'd be a galaxy crayon.
Mm-hmm. I see the whole galaxy in your eyes. isn't that like a pickup line or something?
The whole universe.
What is something you were told you could never do or do well that you have accomplished or are currently in the process of accomplishing?
Oh my God. Like being creative and making money?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonder was a big thing.
Someone told you you couldn't do it, and you were like, just watch me.
Yeah. Wonder was a big one. I remember having critiques in which I was like, hey, so we're scrapping the movie idea and we're doing this. And a lot of people were like, what, you're throwing your entire college career away. What are you doing? And then that show was like some of the best things I've ever done.
One of the most creative things ever.
Yep, true story. All right, because our answer last week was so insane and unpredictable,
yes,
I'm bringing back this question again.
Oh, goodness.
All right, so what problem or situation did TV and movies make you think as a kid would be a much bigger problem in real life?
Let's see. I want to say rodents of unusual size. But more than that, I think I watched way too much Scooby-Doo as a kid. Like, that was my main cartoon. Mm-hmm. And I expected, like, people in monster costumes to be a much bigger deal in my life.
Fair.
And it's, like,
perfect
never come
perfect
up.
Perfect answer.
Perfect answer.
People peeling their face off.
Like,
and the whole time it was your college professor.
Yes, I, like, expected people to be dressed in monster costumes.
Yeah.
Causing mischief throughout the world to be a way bigger
that
issue.
Is... Listeners can't see it, but I'm writing that down. I'm going to maybe use that in the future for examples. That's really good. Oh, man.
Yeah, but much closer to the answer I expect versus the curveball we were throwing last week with Seth. He said the rapture because he was raised super evangelical.
He was like,
I
just thought
like, hold on,
come down and
we're
take
have
me.
To talk about this.
And we were like, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
it was like quicksand is what we were looking for. No? Oh, the
drug
rapture.
Dealers
okay.
on the street corner because of the DARE program is mine.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just people
I remember
giving
those
away
things.
Drugs. Just
yeah.
giving
people
them away.
People just like throwing them in
yeah.
your face.
Like,
yeah.
Like, usually with a nice chapeau hat or something
yes.
with, you know, something eerie in a street corner. Mm-hmm. Smoke these marijuana cigarettes.
Yeah, DARE made it seem like drugs were going to be way more accessible in life than they
absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
They are.
And
all.
Trust me, like... They're I not. Can't get free drugs, so no. That's...
There's nobody in an alleyway handing out weed. Like, nobody's
you,
doing
you
that.
You want yourself a pocket watch or perhaps a tablet of some sort? Like, it's just crazy.
It's true.
What drives you? What gets you out of bed every morning?
Two parts of that question, because what gets me out of bed every morning is my dog hitting me in the face.
Right.
It's mostly him. I'm so glad that you mentioned the other day that Kip does not hear us, because I feel so bad in the morning, because he is just, he's very talkative in the morning, and it's a lot of him yelling at me to get
out
of bed.
Well, I have not heard one thing.
That's fantastic. Because sometimes I'm like, God, Kip must hear us. But I guess what drives me is probably what drives most people here is to create. I physically start getting itchy if I haven't been creating in a while. Mm-hmm. I know it's time to push myself to get back into my studio when I start having these kind of grotesque dreams of ripping my skin off. It's usually a good marker. It's like, wow. I need to be working on something.
Yeah, create. Yeah. Don't rip your skin.
I know the second I have those dreams, I'm like, I need it. Even if I just paint something random, I need to do something.
I think I talked about it a couple of weeks ago, but that was one of the things I definitely took away from my college experiences, sort of, is that no one is going to call you and wake you up in the morning.
Yeah.
You like that. And that's not just as an artist, you know, that's any
that's everybody.
Real job. But artists sometimes, like, have to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, nobody's going to tell you, like, hey, you need to be working on things.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I've always sort of found that to sort of be a common denominator amongst the artists that I have in my life, to realize that people are setting their own alarms and setting their own schedule of saying, I need to memorize this, I need to write this, I need to paint this, and it's the job sort of part of being an artist, you know? Mm-hmm. If not, you could just sit around and smoke weed and paint anytime
you really
want. You
really gotta release yourself to a certain extent. Yep, I always know that, like, when I start having that dream, I'm like, I need to do... Like, I'm not doing what I need to be doing.
You're not fulfilling your own prophecy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. All right, let's do some rapid fire.
Oh, okay. I don't even know what that means.
Well, it's easy. This is probably easier than, you know, what's real magic. Favorite food?
Tacos.
Favorite word?
Who has a favorite word? Do you guys have favorite words?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay. I'm going to go with cosmic because it keeps going through my head. I don't know why.
Well, then that's the point of rapid fire. Favorite body part, not necessarily your own?
Eyes.
I agree with that.
I love people's eyes.
Favorite song?
When the Day Met the Night by Panic at the Disco, because they've been my favorite band since I was 11, and I have no shame.
Fair.
Still my favorite band.
That's fair. Favorite holiday?
Halloween. 100%.
100%.
My presidential campaign is, like, we would get rid of Valentine's Day and have a second Halloween.
Oh, fair. I like just year-round Halloween. I guess that probably defeats the purpose of Halloween. But
you might want to change the name of it. I don't know.
So it's, like, Halloween-esque, but it's, like, different...
Yeah, nice. Different fun. Yeah, different. Just rename them all. That's your task over the next week, is to rename all of the holidays.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much a like, everything from Halloween through Valentine's Day doesn't... It can all take a hike for me. I know you love Thanksgiving. I could give a shit less about it. I don't really...
Yeah.
I have come back to appreciating Christmas now that I have kids. But it's not my holiday. I'd much rather just do, like, I just continue.
You were, for someone who's just comfortable with it, you were very cheerful this past year or so.
Cheerful? How you say? You mean, like, perhaps I was experiencing a nervous breakdown this particular Christmas?
Sure.
Is that what you're referring to?
That's a nice reference.
I like the decor part.
Yeah.
I don't know. Christmas is not my holiday. Growing up, we celebrated Halloween more than we did Christmas. Like, we decorated more for Halloween than we did Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do that for sure. And I think probably Halloween was a big deal in my house when I was a kid, too. Yeah, I mean, I like a tree. I do like a tree. But I would decorate it with more leaning towards, like, my first Christmas tree. My first Christmas tree was black.
Yeah.
My Christmas tree right now is black. It is a black Charlie Brown tree.
Yes.
My mom bought it for me a few years ago because she knew it was the only way I was going to put up a Christmas decoration is if I had a black tree. So I put red ornaments on it.
That's fair. That's fair.
I love
that. Yeah.
What is one thing that became more clear as you got older?
So many things. Especially right now at this point in my life. I think the biggest thing I'm working on right now is just putting myself first. I think I was raised as a people pleaser, and I'm very strongly trying to cut those ties. Mm-hmm. So putting myself first. Also, I have so many sticky notes in my life. They're in my office, they're in my studio, they're in my kitchen that say like one day at a time. Mm-hmm. Because I have a habit of like putting the entire world on my shoulders completely unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I learned that in 2018 too, that deadlines will always be there.
Yes.
So like,
and things can always be restructured. Yes. To a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. my biggest one right now.
I dig.
All right. Yeah. Would you rather have one wish right now, or three wishes over the course of 5 years?
Three wishes over the course of 5 years, because hopefully I would get better at using them as I get older.
Fair.
Wiser.
What are your three wishes then?
Oh my goodness.
And standard genie rules apply.
So you can't like wish for more wishes?
Correct. Or bring someone back from the dead.
Yeah.
Oh, who am I bringing back from the dead? Let's see. Well, my three wishes, I guess I'll say my three wishes if I asked for them today, mm-hmm. but would be fine asking for them over the course of mm-hmm. 5 years, mm-hmm. is not necessarily to be rich, but to be financially comfortable. Mm-hmm. So, like, I never have to worry about if I'm going to make this jar of peanut butter last until payday, mm-hmm. but both, like, living and in my art. Mm-hmm. So that's wish number one. Wish number two, it'd be really cool if somebody just, like, gave me a building. Mm-hmm. Not even a whole building. Just maybe like a floor of the West Bottoms. Mm-hmm. Okay. If anybody's just like giving away floors of the West Bottoms,
call Cast Lines.
Hit me up.
Yeah.
Because that'd be fair. Cool. Okay. So if somebody just like gave me a space mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. just like put a bunch of really weird shit in.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even have a third wish. I think those are my two.
Okay.
Those are your two.
So my third wish is, I want somebody designated to go grocery shopping for me, because that is hell on earth for me.
All right.
So, financially stable, a floor of the West Bottoms, and for somebody to do all of my grocery shopping for me.
Do you want to tell them what to buy?
Yes, I want to set the list, because I'm very picky, but okay. I just don't want to have to step foot in a grocery store.
Okay. Huh. All
right. That's fantastic. I will go get your groceries for you.
Okay.
If you tell me what I'm supposed to eat tonight.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, that's fair. So, like, you could, this is, you guys,
I'll pick up my own food.
Yes.
But you have to tell me what to get.
I'll plan your menu for you.
But I will always go get your groceries.
But you can't just plan his menu, because you've got to cook it, too. He does.
Oh, I'll find someone to cook it.
I was like, I can cook it. I'm real close. You just...
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I might have just problem solved a big problem I have in my life.
I hate going grocery shopping. I've seriously thought, and I'm nowhere near getting married, but I'm like seriously thinking about slipping it into my vows.
Oh,
like,
fair.
You do all the grocery shopping.
But if you do the cooking, that's pretty fair. That's a pretty fair trade-off. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Grocery stores are just like hell on earth for me.
Okay. I do not have strong feelings about a grocery store one way or another, but I would like to never wash my own hair again. That would be one of mine.
That's interesting.
Like, just, I don't want to deal with it. Because when you come out of the salon, it looks so much better than you will ever be able to get it. Ever. So just, I just want to go somewhere and have them wash my hair just all week long.
1950s, isn't that what they did? They never washed their hair in the 50s. Right? They just went to the salon like every other week.
Had their curls set. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? I don't know if I need all of that. Because I don't want a helmet head either. I still want it to be like natural. And, you know, I don't want to have to wear one of those plastic rain bonnets like our grandmothers used to.
But you brought a shower cap to St. Louis that was exceptional.
I have a picture of that.
I do. Don't
you? Does that go on the list of pictures Corey has of Courtney that cannot be released to the public?
What do you think your superpower is?
Probably that I don't think anything is impossible, and that sometimes gets me into trouble. Like, filling an entire theater full of straw. Yeah. I don't think anything is impossible. I think anything could be created. And then I end up being there until 4 o'clock in the morning picking straw out of carpet. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a cool superpower.
I think we found that straw.
Gets you in trouble.
Even last week.
Oh, that's funny. All right. You are invisible for one 24-hour period. What are you going to do with your time? And, like, traveling doesn't count. You can just be wherever you need to be.
I want to... You know all, like, the historical landmarks that you can, like, go in and explore, but they've got, like, places blocked off? Mm-hmm. So after hours, because nobody's there, and then I want to go to all the places you're not supposed to go.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, palaces or, like, maybe the Vatican. They've got some cool stuff in there. Like,
it would be cool to explore that
with nobody else there. Ooh, and then the you Vatican. Get to go. That's a good one. Back behind all the places you're not supposed to. Mm-hmm. There's my 24 hours invisible.
Oh, that's fair.
That's cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is your goal for 2019?
To finish writing the 6 months content. Mm-hmm. And then I was actually just thinking about this the other night. I don't think I'm to the point where I'm like, I want to start building in 2019. Mm-hmm. Feels unreachable at this point. But I would like to build something in 2019, even if it's like totally unrelated to the project I'm working on and is just a weird immersive design party. In the next however many months we have left in this year. Mm-hmm. 8 months.
Isn't it crazy that we're already like halfway through April?
Yep.
I know. Like, I mean, we're barely at it. Yeah. Like, by the end of this weekend, right? We're almost halfway through April.
Halfway through, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. So.
That is just kooky damn boots. Like, hey, speaking of, not, this is a strange tangent. So this past weekend we had Jesus Christ Superstar hanging out here in the Arts Asylum. Did you hear us rehearsing and singing?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is that like? I got that question literally asked me on Saturday, and I was excited to talk to a tenant who existed here.
They asked you if, like, the tenants could appear?
Yeah, like, that's actually like.
I mean, it's not like you guys are, like, outside my door. I mean, it can hear it faintly. I usually have music on decently loud in my space.
Yeah.
Because usually I'm, like, just dancing around my studio.
Because it is interesting how you never affect, you being tenant, never really affects theater. Mm-hmm. But the theater sometimes completely affects you, whether it's negative or not.
Yeah, it's never, I mean, I can hear you guys down there. Actually, it makes it really easy because I try to time Loom going through the lobby when there are, like, as little people possible in the lobby.
Sure.
That was not possible this weekend.
No, he doesn't have any manners, and he's, like, right at crotch height. Yeah, so, sure. Crowds are not the best for us sometimes.
He is sometimes fond of my crotch.
He is very, with he's everyone.
Yeah.
And he just gets in there, so yeah, we try to avoid crowds. So no, I can hear you guys upstairs, but usually it doesn't really faze me as much. It's just like, oh, they're in the lobby. Like, give me 20 minutes. We'll go out in 20 minutes. Yeah. Like, that's usually our only.
Yeah, I've always kind of really wondered, you know, because the Arts Asylum, for those listeners who are just tuning in or whatever, is a 24-hour visual and performing arts space where everyone has to coexist together. Yep. It is the secret yet the biggest obstacle that exist inside of our walls is to sign up for the place. You have to sign up for the entire
place. Yeah.
And
everybody.
That, I think that, you know, in some ways it has taught some of our tenants, honestly, to be a little less selfish. And I mean exactly that word, that there, you know, are people who are like, I need silence, I need it my way. And sort of the idea that once they're down here, they've sort of opened up their idea that, like, they get to create. You know, so why don't you get to create? Yeah. Who gets to designate how you create?
No, this is a community. Mm-hmm. And when a community is a lot of people.
But there's a lot of people who don't want to be part of a community. That is something that I'm also learning, is I always assumed that everyone wanted a kumbaya. But I'm really more learning that it takes a special person to want to exist in a community. Yeah.
It's also, I think,
I don't know if I could exist in essentially a community like this place sometimes.
I think it's easier
24
for
hours a day.
Performing artists to think that because your work is so collaborative. But visual artists very often are
that's
not
a great point. I feel like I really dance the line because my work to an extent will get collaborative at some point, but right now it's very solo.
Right.
We were talking about open studios coming up, and I'm like, I have no idea what I would show for that. Like, the shit in my head. But that, I mean, that doesn't mean that I don't still completely love walking through the hallway and hearing, like, four different, different kinds of something going on as I'm, like, walking through. Especially when I walk up through the second floor. So, like, I'll pass the theater and then come up through the second floor, and, like, there's at least three different kinds of music or
you
something.
You being on the third floor means often you have to take on the whole building.
And it's fantastic to, like, walk through all of this.
Yeah.
almost atmospheres to get up there.
Yeah, and I think they each have their own vibe.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
The Arts Asylum definitely picks its victims, as I will say. You know, and it's fun. It is really cool, you know, after, because we, this December will be 10 years that the Arts Asylum has at least been, like, thought of.
Yeah.
You know, because the building was purchased in December of 2009. So, in December of 2019, its breath will have been given to. And I'm so excited to sort of talk about that in December to be like, damn, like, this is what 10 years has spoken, you know, inside the same walls.
More in 10 years.
Yeah. Because it's the same walls. I mean, maybe not so much internally, but definitely externally. The walls are, it's still holding the same sort of dream inside of it. Well, this is our kind of wrap-up, so I always end with two sort of last questions. Who would you like to hear from on the couch? Who do you think we should have on?
Ooh. Actually, so this person has no connections to the Arts Asylum, but she's fantastic. There is a filmmaker and a very close friend of mine, Emma Probin. She is amazing. And right now, just based on conversations that we have socially, she's starting to kind of break out of the box that art school kind of puts you in. Which I don't think is something you expect going to an art school, that they're going to try and put you in a box. She is just now kind of starting to break out of that, and the things she is talking about creating are going to be incredible.
Well, you should get us in contact.
Yes, we should. We should all grab tacos.
And
chat.
I
Cause she's
love
amazing.
Tacos so much. Yes.
I offered to make you tacos, and that hasn't happened yet.
Anytime. I know I say that, but like anytime.
Yes.
And sort of the wrap up, is there anything that you would like to sort of say about yourself or sort of to end in the podcast with your words?
I can't think of anything. I'm just really excited to be back at the Arts Asylum. I think
so
that's my big thing. I'm really excited to be back here.
We're glad to have you.
It feels like home.
I'm glad that you came back to us. You know, we can provide you a home for an undocumented amount of time. Hopefully forever. You know, we have some tenants here who have been here for like all 10 years. It feels like. It's cool.
Yep.
So yeah, so thank you so much, Cass, for being on the couch. Who do we have on next week, Courtney?
We have Natalie.
Natalie Lacardello is going to be on next week talking a little bit more about Jesus Christ Superstar and her world. So tune in
then.
This episode will be airing on Thursday.
Yes. And you are listening on Thursday. I think that's it.
Enjoy that. Yeah.
And enjoy the beautiful weather, too.
The beautiful
weather. Gorgeous. Yes. All right.
What a long wrap up. thanks again, Cass. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to see who we've got on the couch. New episodes are available in the KC area on KOJH 104.7 Thursdays at 2 p.m. or on iTunes. Bye.